Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the third episode of Terrifying Tanner Thursdays, our October special. This week, very special episode for you. We have the ghost hunter and the medium here at the table. Now, I know some of you are probably laughing, including Big Johnny, who is our medium, and Tanner Calvert, the man himself, as our ghost hunter for this episode. Gentlemen, say hello.
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 All right, good job. Good job. They can follow instructions, folks. They can follow instructions. Now, most of you that have listened to this show know that I am a skeptic. I don't believe in ghosts. So, yeah, like, to me, it is a little bit, not going to say ridiculous, but, yeah, call me skeptical. I'm supportive of, you know, my two friends here, but I don't necessarily believe them. But I still love you both.
It's all right, Jesse. I still love you, too.
Okay, good. I just wanted to clear the air on that so everybody understands where I sit on this. And basically, we're going to do a little bit of back and forth talking with Big Johnny and Tanner here. First, we're going to start off with the two questions we got. It's mostly my fault, and by mostly, I mean entirely. Obviously, this is normally Shannon's job. He is in Pennsylvania, bored out of his skull.
Shout out to LK Patan.
Yes. So yeah, he's out this week. He's in PA, not having a good time. Maybe having a good time. I don't know. I haven't actually talked to him about it. It's just Pennsylvania, and I know he doesn't like it there. So yeah, normally he posts the post asking for questions. I forgot until like a quarter to 10. So here we are. Our two questions are from Shannon and Lindsay.
Oh, wow. Imagine that.
Yeah. All right. Question number one. What's the most haunted place Tanner and John have ever encountered and why? And this is actually one of the questions I was going to ask in the interview because I was curious about it. So I guess we could just get it knocked out early. So Tanner, have at it.
Oh, that's a really tough question. Excuse me. I've been in several places. Like, it's hard to say that one place is more haunted than the other because you don't get the same amount of activity every time you go there. You go to one place, you get some activity. You go there the same, like 2 days later, you may not get anything. The places I've been to that have had the most interesting stuff would be like Carroll Fire Department, Magnolia Manor in Carroll, and a cemetery in Villa Ridge called Carroll Cemetery. It's actually pretty active.
All right. And Big Johnny?
Well, see, the difference between myself and Tanner is Tanner runs towards it. I run away from it.
Gotcha.
That's the short answer. I have been in some very interesting places before. I actually lived in one that would have been my wife's mother's house. That was the actual place where I actually saw a full apparition of her grandfather, to which I described to her what he looked like without ever seeing a picture of him. And she told me, well, yeah, that's my grandfather, so... That's an interesting place. Also, the house that I grew up in had some definite activity to it. There was a room in that house that no one went into because every time somebody got near that room, pictures would come off the walls, TVs would turn on and off, different things to that nature, so nobody ever got near that room. It was just an unwritten rule in our household that nobody went towards that room or went in that room because bad things happened when people went in that room. Bad things happened in that room when people went into that room. So
you're saying in the room, people went in the room and
that's no, the hillbilly in me. Yes.
That's all right. It's all right. I gotta keep it a little light. No. So you're saying bad things wouldn't happen to people.
No.
But
just
like
things in that room.
Yeah, whenever somebody walked in, like pictures and shit would start falling down.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So would you say that's the most haunted place you've been in, or?
Yeah, like I said, I run away, not towards.
Gotcha. So. Gotcha. and Tanner wants to catch it on film.
Or like sound recorded. Any way I can.
Gotcha. All right. And Shannon's next question is actually Lindsay's question. He posted it. She wants to know, what's your favorite Ben Stiller villain, and why is it from Heavyweights? So we'll start with Tanner.
Because it's awesome. Like, that Ben Stiller character is awesome. It's my favorite one.
Well, it's a good thing he plays it in so many movies.
Yeah.
All right, Big Johnny?
I actually changed my answer since before the show. My new answer is actually Happy Gilmore. Could I have a warm glass of milk?
Oh yeah.
I'll have a glass of shut the hell up. Now you will go to sleep or I will put you to sleep.
That is a fantastic Ben Stiller villain. And but I mean,
just for the funny part of the story, though, tell them what your choice was before the show.
Oh, the original choice was Dodgeball.
Which is the exact same character as Heavyweights.
Right. Yeah, basically you honestly have maybe three choices for a villain from Ben Stiller. You have the character he played in Heavyweights and Dodgeball, which has been in at least one more movie that I can't think of the title of. And then you have his character in Happy Gilmore. And I think there might be one. I can't think of any other movies where he's been a villain, honestly. I know there are some, but I can't think of any. So, my answer is going to be Happy Gilmore. fantastic role. It's really good.
It also helps.
You will go to sleep or I will put you to sleep. Yeah, Happy Gilmore's great. Such a fantastic
and
movie.
And the part where they're all knitting the quilts. And he's like on the phone trying to sell the quilts.
Guess what, boys and girls?
My fingers hurt.
Well, now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty. Is anybody else's fingers hurt? All right. Now that we got that out of the way, thank you, Shannon and Lindsay, for being our only question
for
askers.
Those thought-provoking questions.
And once again, I apologize to the rest of you who are listening to the show. Like, I wanted to ask a question. Like, I'm very sorry. I know I only posted it 20 minutes ago. So, moving straight on along. Yeah, sure, why not?
Straight on along.
Yeah, hey, whatever. Just go right into the interviews here. So, I thought up a few questions. I might think of more as we go. Might think of fewer. I know Tanner wants to go home and go to bed, so we're going to try and keep this a reasonably short show. It's definitely not going to be the hour and 20 minutes the first one was. So, here we go. Tanner, I'm going to start with you. What made you start believing in ghosts?
Oh, God. When I was a kid, first of all, let me start off by saying ghosts, in my opinion, doesn't always have to be a human. It could be an animal. When I was a kid, growing up in Kentucky, the apartment we lived in, I had my own bedroom. I was in there by myself at the time for the first time. My brother had just moved into another bedroom on his own. And I'm sitting there, and I swear I hear a horse. Now, there's no horse farms anywhere within 10 miles of my house at the time. So there's no reason at midnight I should hear a horse in my house. Just 2 weeks later, they were showing me pictures of them remodeling the apartments. I was like, well, what was it before? Because it had been here for like 40 years. Oh, it was stables. And I was like, that's interesting. And different stuff like that happened. And my dad worked at the National Guard at Caro and would tell me stuff that happened down there, which was a hospital during World War One, and very heavily haunted. And just from there, it just kept building. I joined the fire department in Caro, where like four or five of us down there were really into ghost hunting. They're like, hey, let's give this a shot. And I've been hooked ever since.
Well, all right. I guess similar question to you, Big Johnny. What was the first time? I know you kind of answered a little bit before, but the first time you felt a presence, I guess you could say.
Oh, wow. Pinpointing down to like a first thing. Man, there's so many of them. I've just now started to become comfortable with talking about this because this has been like a secret of mine forever, something I don't normally talk about. So if I come off as kind of uneasy or anything like that, that's the reason why. I did have a situation that I can vividly remember. It was middle school, to which I was eating lunch in the cafeteria and had gotten choked on a piece of food pretty badly. Whenever that happened and the flailing and the trying to get help, I had noticed at the entrance of the cafeteria a dark figure coming towards me. Coming directly towards me. And whenever I got this piece of food unlodged from my throat, this figure floated back away from where it came from. Now, it wasn't walking towards me. It was floating towards me. And then it took off back away from me after that. That's probably one of the first things. And, of course, something like that, you just kind of dismiss it. You don't really talk about it. You don't try to think about it. But it was definitely one of the very first things that I ever could not explain that it happened. There's been plenty more after that. But that was probably one of the first things that I can actually remember saying that was something not right.
Okay. Now, before we go on to your next question, I want to ask you myself. Would you, like, I know he called you a medium, like, with the opening of the show. Would you, are you a medium? Like, are you able to communicate, or would you call yourself more of a sensitive?
I have had full conversations with dead family members.
Okay. All right. That's what I was wondering. Like, cause like Shannon talked about last week, and he didn't give us just the way he talked about it. It's like you could sense, you know, things that were here. He didn't go into.
Did Shannon discuss with either of you the tour that I took him on of this place?
Yes. Well, he, in short.
Okay.
Like, yeah, he basically just said, you kind of went through and you said there was definitely something here, but you guys didn't actually see anything or anything along those lines.
Did you have a chance to look at the pictures?
No, he didn't. Did Shannon take pictures?
Yeah,
he didn't show us.
He didn't show me.
There's one particular picture that he needs to show everybody, which is kind of interesting. Now, I told him it could have been dust on the floor down there. It could have been several, because as much as I am a believer and that I do things, I also try to disprove things as well.
Yeah, it's
because you can't just say, "Oh, that's a ghost," or "That's that." You know, you have to try to disprove it as well. So, I come in here and I was like, "So you really want me to open this can of worms for you?" And he's like, "Well, yeah." And it was not knowledge to me that this place had a basement. Yeah. I did not know that this place had a basement. And the first thing I said to him was, "Well, is there a basement here?" And he's like, "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, that would explain that." And he goes, "What?" I said, "Because there is, it almost feels like something's trying to come up out of the floor and grab me by the ankles. Mm-hmm. I feel something trying to tug at me from underneath me. So there's definitely something lower." And he said, "Well, it's weird because I sometimes have this feeling of things at the back of the store." And I said, "Well, can I see the basement?" "Sure." So he opens the door to the basement. You know how, like, when you go to Walmart in, like, the middle of the winter and it's cold outside and the door's open and you get slapped in the face with heat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that's the feeling I got whenever I stepped in. When he opened the door to the basement, a feeling of dread just kind of come up and smacked me. And I said, "Oh, yeah, let's go downstairs." So we go downstairs, and he's like, "Well, let me turn the lights on." I said, "No, don't turn the lights on. Leave them off for me. Because if I can see clearly what I'm going towards, then I'll go right towards it." I said, "Let me try to figure out where I want to go." And another thing like that is the less you know about a situation, the better. That way you can kind of pinpoint things. So I started walking in the basement and just clear shot towards this spot in the basement, and I put my hand on the wall. And when I put my hand on the wall, Shannon took a picture. And in this picture, it almost looks like a white type mist or something coming up around me.
Or close
to me. Probably was the asbestos. But, you know, it's like I told him, maybe it was dust. Maybe we were kicking dust around down there. You know, who knows? You were moving when we took the shot. There was another particular shot on his phone that can't be explained. So he had the phone turned sideways in, what's that called, landscape mode?
Yeah.
Okay. So he has his phone in landscape mode. And when we come back up to look at the pictures, the picture is upside down.
I do remember he did show me that.
That's weird.
The picture is, everything is normal about the picture except it's upside down. And when he tries to rotate, it's still upside down. The picture took completely upside down.
I've actually done that by accident. I have found, like, there's a setting in the Galaxy S6 and the S5. And that's what I told Shannon about it. He said it was probably that. Like, I've actually pressed it a few times and it rotates the image.
Yeah.
And obviously when you do that, until you rotate it back, then it's like that. Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, that can be explainable.
Yeah.
It may not be explainable. Could be explainable. He does. Like I said, just like whatever that is in that picture, that could clearly be explainable as dust or maybe something that the Flash.
I'd have to look at it to see
something that the Flash was caught, but it's still a really weird coincidence that it happened in that shot that I'm touching the wall.
In my experience in that basement, anytime, because the first time we went down there, we didn't know there weren't any working lights the first time we went down there. So we just had our phones out and stuff like that. There does seem to be a constant stream of dust just in the air, just from us walking around.
Yeah.
Because that's why I don't really like to go down there. That is literally an asbestos pipe down there. It's wrapped in asbestos and it's on the floor.
I hit my head a couple times down there too.
Yeah, so I really don't like to go down to the basement because it's hazardous to my health and what have you. Obviously not small exposure, not a big deal. So don't send me messages like, yeah, you're fine unless you work in it for 20 plus years, blah, blah, blah. I know. Moving on. The point of that is, though, you know, whenever you're looking around, you know, you shine a light in a dusty area, you just see the dust particles going. That's.
And I said that, you know, that could easily be explained.
Right.
That could possibly be completely explained. What can't be explained, though, is the actual feelings that I got down there. Mm-hmm. And there is a little hole in the wall down there.
Oh, yeah. That looks into the rape dungeon?
Yeah.
That's what we call it anyway.
There was definitely something going on in that part because that's directly where I went to, was that side. There was definitely some negative energy coming off in that area.
Yeah, no homeless people were hanging out in there for a little while, apparently. There's we had to fix that door because homeless people could go through like the outside, go down the stairs, and they could get in.
Yeah.
So, that was a thing for a while. So every time, that was another thing. Every time I went down there, I never go down there by myself because I'm slightly afraid there's going to be a homeless dude down there. And just, I'm going to borrow one of Tanner's phrases, caca. Because, I wouldn't be expecting a homeless man. The homeless man surely wouldn't be expecting me.
Caca on both sides.
Double caca. So I don't go down there by myself. And just in general, like, I will say, and I just chalk this up to my general paranoia, every time I am in here alone after close and I turn out the lights and I'm about to leave, I always do get just this slight feeling of dread. I don't know why. Like, when I say I don't know why, I mostly attribute it to, like, you know, out that door, there could be a guy waiting to stab me because this is Broadway. That's what I mostly attribute it to. And one time in particular, there's a little bit of background for that. Shortly after the store opened, it was right as it was starting to get cold. So I guess about a year ago now, like last September or October, I go outside and it's raining. I get in my car and I turn on my, I start, you know, I lock the door and everything else. I go in my car, start it, turn on the lights. And there's a homeless person at the top of the stairs. He was 5 feet away from me when I walked out of the door. I didn't see him because the backlight, currently if you go out there, there's a motion light. It turns on whenever you walk by it. That light didn't work at the time. So yeah, I get in my car and I see that there was a homeless dude 4 feet away from me. And I didn't see him. I could have died that night. So, yeah, now every time I go out that door alone, I look out and I'm like,
all right, you sons of bitches. I always catch myself looking down those stairwells.
I do, yeah, I do every time now. Like, especially now that there's light. When it was dark, it didn't matter. I could look and I couldn't see anything. So I just didn't bother. And, So I called the police. They came and they asked the guy to leave. So, yeah. So every time I'm closing by myself now, I'm slightly afraid when I walk out that door. And now, folks, I am a large man. I am not one to be trifled with generally, but I'm still a little freaked out about guys jumping out at me from the darkness with a dagger.
Sorry, my mind went off on something else.
All good. All right, so now back on track. I'm trying to remember what my next question was going to be.
When did you guys go down to the basement? Was this
last Friday?
Last Friday?
Yeah, almost a week ago. Yeah. A week ago tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I know my next question was going to be for Tanner, but now I don't remember what it is. We got so far off track.
Yeah, that's why you write things down.
I know. I really should. Normally I just trust my memory, but I'm learning as I get older that's a mistake. Shit. Talk amongst yourselves while I try and think about this.
Did you hear about the incident from the first Terrifying Terror Thursday?
No.
We were completely done recording. We were in the process of putting everything up. I scoot my chair back. I'm sitting where I'm sitting now. I scoot my chair back. And when I sit, you know how we scoot things back. We set the chair up. We pick the chair up, set it back down. Well, when I set it down, on the other side of the store, we hear one of the zappers fall off the shelf for the Retron. Or we hear something fall, pretty loud bang. We go over there and it ends up being a zapper. It fell off the shelf. Jesse puts it back up there, and we try for 10 minutes
to
figure out how it fell, like what caused it to fall.
We were just testing general stuff.
Like we were, he went as far as to put it back on the shelf the way it was, or the way he thought it was, and even went in the closet here and beat on the wall directly behind it. We couldn't get it to fall.
My guess was that basically the way the zappers, so for those of you that either didn't listen to the previous episodes or haven't heard about this yet, we have a zapper on like one of these little plastic shelves coming off a slat wall, and it's just kind of sitting up there. And I mean, you guys mostly, if you don't know what a zapper is, it's the, whenever you play Duck Hunt, or if you see any pictures of people playing Duck Hunt, they've got the little plastic gun, that's a zapper. So it's got a cable at the end that plugs into the console. And my guess on what's happening, or what happened rather, the zapper is up there, the cable is bundled, like with a zip tie. My guess is, the floor isn't exactly sturdy. Somebody stepped weird, and that cable was just about to fall off that plastic over, you know, a long period of time of vibrations, like hitting a wall, stepping around it, etc. Just about to fall off, and then finally, one last vibration did it. The cable fell. When the cable fell, it took the zapper with it because it's not exactly secure up there. That was my guess on what happened. We can't see the footage of what happened because there's a password on the camera now, and only Lonnie Sr. knows it.
I was going to ask that question if you'd looked at the video.
Yeah, we tried.
Does he not want to give you the password now?
Lonnie Sr.?
Yeah.
I haven't actually gotten around to talking to him about it.
Oh, I really want to look back at this video.
I do too, but I haven't seen him, and honestly, I doubt that he would know it. I think somebody was looking at the footage. Well, no, he likely knows it. He's got to have it written down at somewhere at the very least. He's too much of a prepared person to not. So, yeah, I'm sure it's somewhere.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, I tried.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I
only an idiot puts that on their luggage. Remind me to change my luggage.
I went so far as to look up the default password to see if it was that, and it wasn't. So someone changed it, so someone's got it written down. Someone knows it.
Did you try password?
I did. I tried all the easy tricks in the book that I know, and nothing worked. No footage on that. But yeah, that's my guess. Cable fell, pulled the zapper with it. I did remember the question I was going to ask. Now, back when I was heavy into the Christian faith, those of you that don't know a whole lot about me, when I was in college, I was like uber Christian. I mean, I went like every Sunday, obviously. I was a leader at our college ministry. I went on mission trips. I was in Russia for a couple of weeks on a mission trip. I did all this other stuff, for the faith and everything else. And even then, I didn't really believe in ghosts. One thing I did believe in and was, you know, perfectly accepting of being real was demons. I did not fuck around with Ouija boards. I still kind of don't. I'm still a little leery. Because if something answers back, you know, from my viewpoint, my perspective, my belief perspective, it's not a ghost talking to you. It's a demon, and demons aren't friendly. They are in no way out to help you. They are only out to hurt you or fuck with you in general. So, at least that was, again, that's my old, you know, viewpoint on things. So now, Tanner, we're going to start with you. What are your thoughts, opinions, experiences, encounters with demons?
You never know. I mean, unless you just outright get an answer, you know, saying, hey, you know, this is demonic. And sometimes you will get an answer saying, hey, yeah, I am a demon. Or it'll say its own name. It happens. It's happened. I try not to communicate in that way. Like Ouija boards, out of the question. Because honestly, with a Ouija board, you run like a 50-50 chance. Are you talking to a ghost? And, you know, just a normal spirit there trying to communicate with you? Could be a demon. 50-50 chance. That's not a chance. Not horrible odds, but not odds I want to go against.
Especially with the consequences.
Yeah.
Assuming this is real, the consequences of conversing with a demon, not pleasant.
No, I've seen The Exorcist. That's actually how that story happened.
Yeah.
Another thing I don't mess with is like dowsing rods,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially kind of similar to Ouija boards. You ask questions. You ask yes or no questions. You know, of course, when you start off, you set up the rules. You know, if you want it to be, your answer is yes, take the rods to the right. If they're no, take them to the left. We did that at the fire department in Carroll for about 6 months, and things started getting pretty bad around there. One kid who hung out a lot there ended up trying to commit suicide. And so the dowsing rods got the hell out. And since then, outside of like doing EVP sessions, no communication. And I'm assuming with the fact that he went just crazy and tried to kill himself, I'm assuming we ran into something demonic. We just didn't know it. But there's no definitive proof.
Yeah. And that's my little brother, when I was in college, and I had to live at home for about 6 months in total before I got to move out again. He bought a Ouija board. I burned it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no. I gave him the cash for it. He was pissed at me at first. I was like, no, I'm going to give you money for it because I feel bad that I destroyed your shit. I do. But no, fuck that. No Ouija boards. Not okay with it. Now, Big Johnny, same question.
Yes. I've never touched a Ouija board. Apparently, there's an update on the ESPN.
Yeah. Falcons probably just lost. All right.
Okay, so I've never touched a Ouija board. I have dabbled in spirit writing before, just to attempt it to see if I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to clarify, if anyone doesn't know what spirit writing is, that's basically when you put a pencil in your hand, you ask a question, and see if you get a answer written out in a response. I have tried that before and had some success with it. But then again, something like that, you can't say, is that you writing the answer that you want to hear, or is somebody actually moving your hand?
It's especially because the Ouija board, you know, you can get away with a little bit because you're supposed to have like multiple people touching it. Like, it's one of those things like dowsing rods, spirit writing, stuff like that. I'm familiar with it. And yeah, it's very difficult to prove that it's actually happening until you get something, you know, like happens in the movies where the thing just starts like, everybody takes their hands off of it and it's still going.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I've not in person, but I've seen instances in different videos and descriptions of people doing spirit writing where the person's actually asleep. I'm talking dead sleep. They come in, they see the person write, you know, see their hand moving, and they immediately know, get a pencil, put it in their hand, and you start just writing a message. I'm talking this person sitting here with their eyes completely shut, not even looking in the direction of the pad, and they're writing in straight sentences as if they're looking good, really concentrating on what they're writing on.
I was haunted then by a chemistry ghost at one point. No, the fun story that's kind of related. You can ask Trevor Camp about this. He's my witness. Back in high school, I was in chemistry class, and I was working. The job I was working at the time had me working until 1 in the morning, and I had to wake up at 5:30 to go to school. So I was in chemistry class. We were taking notes. I fell asleep. I was out. And now at Cape Central High School, ask anybody, academic chemistry is the hardest course in that high school. Highest fail rate easily. So sleeping was not something you wanted to do. So I fell asleep. And I woke up in a panic because I just missed an entire class period's worth of notes. I looked down and I had a full page. So I asked Trevor, I was like, the hell? And he was like, dude, you've been writing all class. You know, I've been asleep the whole class. So I was just attributed it to, I was just so panicked about it. I entered this weird meditative state. I don't know.
I had a friend of mine that had something similar like that happen. Only it wasn't in a classroom. She went to school at Notre Dame, and she was like real sleep deprived. She lived in Villa Ridge, Illinois, which is just north of Mounds. She fell asleep behind the wheel while driving home from Cape around Thebes, and when she woke up, she was at the four-way stop right before you come into Mounds. which is easily 10 miles.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
That's
creepy. You got to admit.
Yeah. Hopefully she just zoned out or something. Because I've gone in autopilot before. Like, I just kind of zone out, especially like, say, a night of like late night of raiding in Destiny. I have to wake up early and go to work the next day. And I never get enough sleep anyway. I usually only sleep 5-6 hours a night. I'll just be driving and like, I won't really be paying attention to anything, but suddenly I'll be, you know, about to turn off of Jackson Boulevard to go towards my, my workplace. And I was like, how did I get here? Good old autopilot. But anyway, but yeah, no, that's a, sorry to make light of the whole writing thing, but yeah, it was just it was a fun story I like to share by myself. Like I took a whole page worth of notes in my sleep. And again, Trevor Camp, I don't know. He's listened to a few of these shows. But yeah, I might just post on Facebook, get back up there. Cause nobody ever believes me. He was sitting right next to me though. He saw it all. Anyway. So yeah, no experiences at all with demons though, Johnny?
No.
What are your thoughts, opinions, etc. on demons?
Demons, well, I mean, like I've said before, I'm a big fan of Ed and Lorraine Warren and their work and studies. And, you know, a lot of what they go through or went through was attributed to demons. They didn't really say anything about ghosts. Theirs was always demons. Everything was demons. So,
right.
I tend to believe that stance that Casper's not out there, but there's definitely demons out there.
All right. So yeah, demons. Look out, folks. Now, yeah, like that was a part of the reason I also believed in, you know, demons and demons and whatnot. My pastor when I went to La Croix United Methodist, that was the church I was a member of. The pastor there had actually like seen exorcisms performed and actually seen people.
Whoa, Methodist exorcisms? Those are creepier than Catholics.
So yeah, he'd seen a couple performed and apparently had been a part of a few where, you know, they were exorcising a demon, like someone was legitimately possessed. And it's not frequently in the same way as, you know, like it was in The Exorcist. In fact, it's
way different.
Yeah, it's a lot different than that. It's mostly just like subtle mood changes, like behavioral changes, they, you know, like loss of willpower in certain areas, like, yeah, just stuff like that, like really subtle things, but that are just leading them towards a darker path in life. So one might say that, you know, from my strong Christian standpoint in college, that I may have been possessed. Who knows?
I have a video you need to watch. I think it would help you understand some different things. It's called The Haunted Boy. It's literally about the true story of The Exorcist. Was not a little girl. It was a boy, originally from Baltimore. Had an aunt from St. Louis who went to visit him. Gave him a Ouija board as a gift. Became possessed and moved him to St. Louis to go to the Catholic hospital there in town. After they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him in Baltimore. And that the story just progressed from there. The house that he lived in while they were in St. Louis is still there.
Right.
And this documentary, they talk about everything that happened leading up to it. And it all, you know, just comes together at the end when they do an investigation at the house. And they find a lot of interesting stuff. And I've said before, I'm not a huge fan of Ghost Adventures just because of douchebag.
Right.
But they did an investigation there at the Exorcist house. Probably one of the best episodes I've ever had.
Was that those guys that had the brick that flew?
Yes. They have some really great evidence. And like when they started out, they were really good. That documentary is fantastic. Mm. Just Ghost Adventures, the first one. If you've not seen it, watch it. It's really cool. He's a douchebag and then he runs away crying. Which is great. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's so great.
Fair enough. Yeah, I've watched a little bit of it. They've showed me the video. It's on the internet, guys. For those of you that are unaware, it does look pretty convincing. Obviously, it looks very similar to how it would in any movie with special effects. Yeah, just brick flies, kind of crazy looking. So
it's like the trajectory of it and the way it takes off, and you know, it's all kinds of different things.
Yeah, it's crazy looking for sure. particularly if, you know, there's no visual effects or anything. And they've supposedly had the tapes taken to...
there was a university in California, I think, UC Irvine.
Yeah, and they tested for, like, tampering or special effects and stuff like that and found nothing. But the professor did admit that it is possible to have, you know, special effects, especially in this day and age, and have it look tamper-proof. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, take of that what you will. By no means should you be offended or take what I'm saying to heart. Like, what I'm saying is just as likely as what Big Johnny and Tanner here are saying. Big Johnny, you look like you got something to say.
No, just listening, basically.
Just listening to the sound of my beautiful, beautiful
wind. But I miss you too, Shannon.
Yep. Shannon will be
how strong is he go?
he doesn't need any more help. No, I'm kidding. I love you, Shannon. I do. If you've gotten to this point in the show, which, considering this one is about ghosts, you might.
He'll be the only one.
Do what? Oh, he's the only one still listening. No, Tanner Thursdays has been pretty good. Dolphin Mankey will be listening to it.
He's going to get like the piss scared out of him in the first 20 minutes and.
Oh, this episode?
He was with us in the basement. He went down.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, Pussbot.
Yeah. Pussbot made it. By the way, Pussbot is his girlfriend's nickname for him, especially when referring to anything horror. Shut up, Tanner.
You said it right.
No, I said anyway.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
I didn't say it right.
No, I thought you did.
I don't. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. That's why I thought you were going to make fun of me for saying it like that again.
No, I thought you said it right. I'm sorry.
Well, now we're all just confused.
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess my last question will close out the night. What is your favorite story to tell of your, well, obviously this question doesn't necessarily apply to Johnny, but, Tanner, your favorite story to tell about your ghost adventures?
Oh, I've got two. They're both really short, so it won't take long. The first one was in the cemetery, the Carroll Cemetery I talked about earlier. Me and my wife, her little sister, and their cousin, we were in the cemetery doing an investigation, and we separated. And it was somehow it ended up being my wife, her sister, and her cousin in this one little section of headstones, and I'm on the other side of the cemetery. They're doing an EVP session, and her cousin, on the EVP session, you hear her cousin say, excuse me, is there anybody there? You know, and he says, knock once on the headstone, if yes, twice, if no. Or he asked the question, and, you know, is somebody here?
Gave the parameters, yeah.
And he asked another question, and in the recording, you hear a voice of an old man. I'm talking... When I say old, I'm talking from like the 30s, from that time period, just from the accent of the voice. You hear him clear as day say, who does he think he is? But you hear it clear as day, but it sounds like it's coming out of a record. It's got that muffled sound to it, the scratch and pop, but it's on a digital recorder in the middle of a cemetery. I can't disprove that. I don't know. Somebody else could, but that's probably one of the coolest pieces of evidence I ever got. The other thing is, I had just had ankle surgery my sophomore year, and I just started at the fire department, just got into ghost hunting, and I'm spending the night there. And in the dorms of the fire department, they used to have these lights that were on a dimmer switch that were red. And they would always cast really weird shadows, and we attributed those to seeing weird things at night when we were going to bed. Well, we would turn them off right before falling asleep just so it wouldn't mess with us all night. Well, as we were turning them down, I literally see a shadow run across from in front of my bed. No clue what it was. I was like, oh, that's just the shadows messing with me. 5 minutes later, I hear a knock on the little divider between beds on my left-hand side. There's no one sleeping on that side. A few minutes after that, I'm laying on my back, and the ankle I just had surgery on, it's like someone comes up, grabs my toes, and pulls forward on the bad ankle. And I come out of bed screaming because it hurt.
Right.
And no one's awake. The doors to get inside the dorm are locked. And the only other person there is sleeping in the bed two down from me, and he's knocked out.
Yeah, that's definitely creepy.
That story, actually, I told that story for a radio show here in Cape for the SEMO Radio Network.
Oh, yeah?
And they won an award for that story.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Splitting of that with you, I guess? Or?
No,
of course not. Of course. All right. Yeah, Big Johnny, I know, you know, we kind of talked about this before. You haven't really, you haven't been too vocal to anybody about, you know, what you've been feeling, what you've been seeing, that kind of stuff. So I guess what's the kind of a similar question? What's probably the creepiest experience or the most paranormal experience you've had?
There are two of those, and it involves family. Very uncomfortable to talk about, but I will do it for the sake of this.
Big Johnny, the hero, PZ85.
I actually told these stories to Shannon, and it kind of hit me emotionally when I talked to him about that, but you know, we'll do this. The first one that happened to me was, let's see, probably shortly after I got out of high school. So maybe, well, a couple of years. Anyway, my grandfather was in a nursing home for the last years of his life. And my uncle would always come out to the house and pick up my dad. And they would go out there nightly to visit him because the nursing home wasn't too far away. And when they had got back that night, my dad had went ahead and went into the house, but I was talking to my uncle outside in his pickup truck. Now, he had the dome light on in his truck when I'm talking to him the whole time, but I could not see him. It was like I was talking to a shadow where he should have been at. There was just a silhouette shadow of him. And when he saw that I was visibly upset by that, he said, you know, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. And he got home after that and walked into the kitchen, said hello to his wife, and walked into the living room and died of a massive heart attack. So that was the personal. And the second one was on my grandfather's deathbed. He was there, but he refused to expire, I guess you would call it. And when I was in the room with him one time, I definitely saw another one of the shadows, just like when I was choking as a kid, standing at the head of his bed, and I had leaned down to give him a kiss, and I told him, you know, it's okay, you can go now. And he said, not with everybody here, which is one of the clearest things he had said in years, because my grandfather had been suffering with Alzheimer's for quite a few years at that point. And that was the last time I saw him alive, because he decided to wait until everyone had left, even my uncle, my dad, my uncles, that had stayed there ever since the doctor said it was, you know, his time was short. Some of them had went home, and I don't remember who was there at the time, but they had decided to basically just like take a break, walk outside or whatever, and only when the room was empty he decided to let go and pass away at that point.
Well, don't really know what to follow that up with. So
I have more, but you know, we can go another time. But those are two of the most interesting ones to tell.
I hear you. All right. Well, yeah, that's, I think that's going to do it for the episode 3 of Terrifying Tanner Thursdays. Hope you guys have had fun. Yeah, that's a great tone to end this kind of episode on.
Yeah.
All right. So, for myself, for the man himself, Tanner Calvert, and Big Johnny, thanks for tuning in. Catch you guys next week. And then the episode after that, will be recorded from a haunted location featuring, at the very least, Shannon, Asa, and Tanner. And Big Johnny. I may not be there. I might be in Indianapolis watching a Colts game. We'll see how it goes. Or on my way to Indianapolis to watch a Colts game. So, yeah. In the meantime, guys, thanks again for tuning in. Well, Pro Wrestling Unscripted is going to be a special one this week. We got a full house, probably the biggest cast list of Pro Wrestling Unscripted history. Then, yeah, we'll have a Nerd Up for you on Sunday. No Sunday Random Sunday this week. Or this coming Sunday, I guess. And, yeah, that'll be the next set of shows. All right. Thanks again, guys. Good night.